Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
For those of you that might be new, you can follow the whole service on the Bible app. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, we have all of our notes, scriptures, everything, every point. And if you go on to it right now, you can save it and go back to it during the week. But if you don't save it while we're live, it will be gone and forever lost. So, we're starting a brand new 8-week sermon series today titled Ears to Hear. Everyone say ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear? We all have ears, but we all don't have ears to hear. This phrase, ears to hear, appears six times in the Gospels. And it refers to those whose hearts are prepared and ready to receive the truth that they are hearing with their ears. In Vision 2020, we had a vision exam. So in ears to hear, we're going to have a hearing exam. Can you hear me now? We all have ears, but all of you didn't hear that statement, did you? Even though I just spoke, all of you didn't hear what I spoke. Some of you did. We all have ears, but we all don't have ears to hear. The Bible says that large crowds gathered to hear Jesus speak, but many didn't hear him speak. It's the same in our world today. There are large crowds gathering in churches all over the world this morning to hear Jesus speak, but many don't hear him speak. They hear of him and they hear about him, but they don't hear from him. Do you have ears to hear? Jesus concluded one of his sermons to the crowd with, "He who has ears, let him hear." Evidently, we can have ears, but not be able to hear. My prayer is that all of you, every single one of you, would have ears to hear. But ears to hear is more than a matter of our ears. It's a matter of our hearts. So more than a hearing exam, what we really need, church, is a heart exam. I said we need a heart exam. We need an EKG this morning. The church of America needs an EKG this morning. We need a heart exam. So through this sermon and through this series, let's examine our hearts. The title of today's sermon is Examine My Heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, examine. No. Let me finish. Don't tell them to examine your heart. They're not God. Tell them to examine their heart. Now say it. Examine your heart. Come on, like King David said to God in Psalms 139:23, he said, examine my heart, O God. Can we pray that prayer today? How many of you would be bold enough to pray that prayer? Let me see your hands. If you're that bold, I want you to stand to your feet. But listen, if you're not going to pray that prayer, don't bother standing. It's a real prayer. It's a personal prayer because it's a personal work. It's not a work between you, your pastor, and God. It's a work between you and God. It's not a work between you, your spouse, and God. It's a work between you and God. So right now, if you're that bold, begin to pray. Because I can pray it for you, but it's not going to do anything for you. It's up to you to pray it and say, God, examine my heart. Come on, right now, all over this place, examine our hearts, God. If there's anything unclean, unworthy, unholy, unrighteous, God, anything that's separating us from you, anything that is disqualifying us, if there's anything, God, in my life, in my heart, in my mind this morning that's not pleasing to you, that doesn't bring glory and honor to you, that's causing me to fall or to stumble, God, or causing someone else to fall or to stumble. If there's anything in our hearts, God, that is holding us back and holding us down from fulfilling our God-ordained destiny and purpose, strip it out. Remove it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Through this series, I'm going to be preaching 8 of the parables that Jesus spoke. 8 weeks. Although there's much more than 8 parables. But I want to start with the first one in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Jesus said that in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, if you don't understand this parable, the parable of the sower, you won't understand any of the other parables whatsoever. So first things first, we have to start with the first parable. This was the very first parable that Jesus spoke. Before this, he had never spoken parables. But after this, that's about all he spoke. He spoke in parables, but why? Turn to your neighbor and say, why did he speak in parables? I'm glad you asked. The disciples asked the same question. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, they said, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Jesus spoke his greatest truths through parables. A parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus revealed important truths through parables, but only those whose hearts were receptive and open and prepared had ears to hear. Jesus said in Matthew 13:13, this is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables, because while having the power to see, they don't see. And while having the power to hear, they do not hear, nor do they grasp or understand spiritual things. That's why I speak in parables. Jesus spoke in parables to hide truth. Some of you are thinking, what kind of church did I show up in? Jesus spoke in parables to hide truth. Church. And why in the world would Jesus want to hide truth from anyone? Because Jesus knows the heart of man. And man that rejects him, Jesus hides his truth from that man. And therefore, he does not have ears to hear. It's foolishness to him. It's like, you go to church every Sunday, why? You read your Bible, why? It's not for me. Because he does not have ears to hear. Jesus spoke in parables to reveal truth, but also to conceal truth, which is point number one. God's word reveals, yet conceals truth. Come on, let that sink in. Some of you just went, because you don't have ears to hear. But don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. God's word reveals, yet conceals truth. Truth is revealed to hearts that are open, receptive, and prepared, yet concealed to hearts that are unreceptive, that are hard, that are unwilling to accept the things of God. Hearing God isn't just a matter of our ears, church. It's a matter of our hearts. Because we hear God through our hearts. You hear God speak through your heart. Notice contained in the word heart is the words ear and hear. Oh, come on, that's great revelation, Pastor. Woo! That is great truth revealed, yet concealed. It's the word of God. It's great truth revealed, yet concealed. But only spiritual men and women are able to hear. Only spiritual men and women have ears to hear. Because you hear God through your heart. You don't just hear him with your ears, you hear him with your hearts. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, in the Passion Translation, it says, listen with your hearts. And in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep and my peeps know and hear my voice. How many sheep in the house? How many of Jesus' peeps in this place? He said, my sheep hear and know my voice. How many of you would say, I recognize the voice of Jesus? How many would say, if we put it through the speaker system, I could recognize the voice of Jesus this morning? Most of you would recognize Morgan Freeman or Charles Heston over the voice of Jesus, because we've never heard Jesus with our physical ears. How many has ever heard Jesus speak audibly? We hear him with our hearts. You hear him with your heart. It's through our hearts that we have ears to hear. We hear his voice with our spiritual ears. And what is our spiritual ear? Our heart. Your heart is your spiritual ear. Point number two, through your heart, you hear God speak. So listen with your hearts. It's through our hearts that we have ears to hear. But only hearts that are prepared, receptive, and open have ears to hear. If you feel like you can't hear God this morning, it might be a heart issue. And maybe you need to examine your heart. Because it's through your heart that you hear the voice of God. All of you will hear this same sermon today, but not all of you will hear it in the same way. Because not all of you have ears to hear. For some, it will just pass through their ears. For others, it will be planted in their hearts. Why? Because not everyone has ears to hear. And again, don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. Get mad at Jesus. He said it. Actually, let that madness turn into openness and allow him to examine your heart. Don't leave this place today mad. Leave here open-minded, open-hearted, and allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move in you today. Let's go to verse 14. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. Isaiah, I think it's 6, which says, you will hear and keep on hearing, but never understand. And you will look and keep on looking, but never comprehend. For this nation's heart has grown hard. Can we agree with that today? And with their ears, they hardly hear. Why? Because their hearts are hard. They have tightly closed their eyes. Why? Because their hearts are hard and closed to the things of God. Otherwise, they would see with their ears, or their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn to me, and I would heal them spiritually. Notice Jesus said if they could hear him, they would turn to him, and he would do what? Heal them. Let me say that again. If they could hear him, they would turn to him, and he would heal them. If our world today could hear him, they would turn to him, and he would heal them. I said if they could hear him, they would turn to him and he would heal them. Now put a face on it. My neighbor, my family member, my coworker, my classmate, my spouse, my husband, my best friend, if they could hear him, if only they could hear him, they would turn to him and he would heal them. But unfortunately and sadly, many don't hear him. Why? Because they don't have ears. Many will live unhealed, broken, bound, addicted, jacked up, messed up. See, on this day, many of the crowd left unhealed, broken, battered, addicted, jacked up, and they returned to their old life. No change. They returned to their sin. Unmoved by the words of Jesus. Let this hit home. Their healing depended on their hearing. When I said their healing depended on their hearing, which is point number three. Your healing depends on your hearing. Healing comes by hearing, just as faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by. Come on, y'all got to help me out. But again, it's not hearing with our ears, it's hearing with our hearts. The Passion Translation says, and this is Romans 10:17, faith is birthed in a heart that responds. It's all about the heart. We don't have an ear problem. We have a heart problem. In this parable of the sower, Jesus revealed that only one out of four had ears to hear. You know what that means? 75% of the crowd could hear him with their ears, but not with their hearts. What if that was true of this congregation? What would that mean? That would mean that only 25% of you have ears to hear. Spiritual ears to hear. This is where we need to examine our hearts, church. Think about it. Am I a part of the 25%? Or am I a part of the 75%? I believe the percentage of those with ears to hear today is much higher. I believe that there's a higher percentage of ears to hear in this place today. I believe that verse 16 applies to us. In verse 16, Jesus said, blessed are you, and blessed are your ears because they hear. But keep in mind, Jesus wasn't talking to the crowd at this point. This was after the crowd dispersed. This is after the crowd left, went home, went back to their sin, jacked up, messed up, bound and addicted. Jesus was speaking to the disciples at this point in a boat. So this is where we have to evaluate our hearts. Are we the crowd? Or are we a disciple? See, the crowd heard the words of Jesus, just like you and I hear the words of Jesus. But their ears. But Jesus' words had no effect on their lives. And they returned home. They returned to their sin. But the disciples heard and turned to him. See, think about it. The crowd hear with their ears, but disciples hear with their hearts. The crowd listens, but disciples obey. The crowd follows out of convenience, but disciples follow out of commitment. Disciples were selfless, but the crowd was selfish. Verse 17, many prophets and godly people in times past yearned to see these days of miracles that you've been favored to see. They would have given everything to hear the revelation you've been favored to hear, yet they didn't get to see as much as a glimpse. Wow. Or hear even a whisper. And what was true of then is true of now. Many don't have ears to hear, but remember, it's not an ear issue, it's a heart issue. Jesus said their heart was too calloused. The heart couldn't receive the word of God, and therefore there was no revelation given to the individual. In Psalm 78, verse 8, it says, do not be like them, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give your heart to God. The Voice translation says they were a generation of uncultivated hearts. And what was true of then is true of now. We don't have an ear problem. We have a heart problem. And in Hosea 10, verse 12, the Bible says to break up the fallow ground or the uncultivated ground of your hearts and seek Him. This is the only way that you and I will have ears to hear, is to break up the uncultivated ground of our hearts. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. The Bible says, when a large crowd was gathering together and people from city after city were coming to Him, He spoke to them using parables. The sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell beside the road and it was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on shallow soil, covering the rocks. As soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. Some fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Now his disciples began asking him what this parable meant. And he said, to you who have been chosen, it has been granted to know and recognize the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is in parables. So that through seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. The disciples did not understand what this parable meant. According to a study, the parables of Jesus are often avoided when it comes to sermon topics. Why? Because many don't understand. Many don't have ears to hear. So therefore, we don't preach it. But think about it. The parables of Jesus, where Jesus spoke His greatest truths, that should be almost every sermon we preach. Because it was Jesus' words. It was the living word. You remember, He came down from heaven. He was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's the Word that should be preached. Jesus' words, not avoided, but yet we preach more on social justice, on encouragement and entertainment. And victory is ours in Jesus' name. Yet we avoid the corrections, the discipline, and the commitment, and the examination. It's more entertainment-based and more encouragement-based than it is examination-based. Just, as I said, victory is ours. I got a hoop and a holler. But when I say Jesus will chastise you, it gets silent. Think about it. What do we want to be? Encouraged or transformed? Do we want to be mature or immature? Come on. What are we preaching? What are we listening to? What is your next podcast? What's it about? Encourage me, Pastor. It's not all about encouragement, church. It's about perseverance. It's about commitment. It's about holding on when you've got nothing left in you. But greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. So therefore, I can hold on. No matter what comes against me, no demon in hell, no attack of the enemy, no weapon in this world will cause me to give in or surrender. Disciples didn't understand the parable. There will be things that you read in the Word and things you hear preached that you don't understand unless you're like my teenagers. They know everything. I had a conversation the other night with them. I said, can we just agree to disagree that you know everything and you're always right? I wonder how many teenagers, spiritual teenagers, we have in the house today. Uncorrectable, unteachable. I know it all. I've attained it all. I've arrived. Come on. We don't have to pretend that we know it all. Like the disciples, we can ask Jesus what it means. In fact, a great teacher will tell you to ask questions when you don't understand. And how many know Jesus was the great teacher? The Bible called him teacher over 45 times in the Gospels alone. He was the great teacher, and he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. The disciples were knocking. Jesus, we don't understand. What does this mean, Jesus? We can't comprehend what you're saying, but think about it. How ironic is this? They were asking the Word what the Word meant. Which seems so unfair. You're stuck with me. And they had Jesus. But Jesus had no problem explaining and opening up the Word to them. But remember, Jesus said, it's better for you that I leave, talking to the disciples. Because if I leave, I'll send who? The Helper. And what will he do? Teach you all things. Now think about it. They had the great teacher walking with them, but we have the great teacher abiding in us daily. And we can ask him at any moment, any day, at any time, teach me your word. See, too many believers rely on their pastors to teach them everything. But Jesus didn't say, I'm going to send pastors to teach you everything. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he will abide in you and he will teach you everything. Too many believers rely on podcasts to teach them everything. If we could just put down the podcast for a few moments and open up the divine word of God, we might learn a little something. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. In John 16:13, there is no truth without the Spirit of truth. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture was given by divine inspiration. Everyone say divine inspiration. Other translations say all scripture was written by the Holy Spirit. Every word in the Bible was given by divine inspiration. Not one word was written that wasn't given by divine inspiration. The Holy Spirit gave the writer divine inspiration to write the word. And therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to give us divine, what's the word? Inspiration to what? To read the word. Otherwise, we're just reading meaningless words, church. It's just a history book. If you do not have the Holy Spirit abiding in your heart, you're just reading meaningless words. It will do nothing for you. Just a history book. Think about it. The word was written by divine inspiration and can only be read by divine inspiration. Wow, great revelation, Pastor. Let me take it a step further. If the Holy Spirit gave the writers divine inspiration to write the word, and we can only read the word by divine inspiration, the Holy Spirit has to give pastors divine inspiration to preach the word. I cannot preach the word without divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I'm just preaching meaningless words that will encourage you and pat you on the back, inspire you, but never transform your lives. Preachers have to have divine inspiration to preach the word. Revelation comes through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. The revelation to hear, the revelation to read, and the revelation to preach. 1 Corinthians 2:4. I've read this before, but I'll read it again. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me, and of his power stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them. Remember, I told you it's a dual work happening when we preach. The Holy Spirit is working through the speaker to speak, and he's working through the listener to hear. So the Holy Spirit is working through the deliverer to deliver, and working through the receiver to receive. Is the Holy Spirit working double time in this place today? For some, because some have ears to hear, but some don't. Let me keep reading for somebody to throw something. Verse 5. So that your faith would not rest on wisdom and rhetoric of men. I don't want your faith resting on this guy right here, because it will fall. If your faith is resting in a man, it's temporary faith. And you will lose it at some point. Not saying that every man will fall, but when your faith is in a person other than the person of Jesus Christ, it's a temporary faith, and it will fail you. But on the power of God, yet we do not speak wisdom among those, yet we do. I've read that like that every time I've read the verse this week. Yet we do not, but it's yet we do. Yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature, believers who have a teachable heart. Some of you just need to download the Amplified Bible. You might learn something. If you just have a teachable heart, it says, and a greater understanding, but it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of this present age, nor the rulers and leaders of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God. That wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to lift us into the glory of his presence. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. None of the rulers of this age recognized nor understood this wisdom, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written in Scripture, in the Word, things which the eye has not seen, nor the ear has heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence. What's next? Who obey. And who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. Verse 10 is where it's at, though. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. Revelation is dependent on the Holy Spirit. You will never get divine inspiration or revelation without the Holy Spirit. See, it's God's desire to reveal his truth to you and I. It's not to hide it. He doesn't want to hide truth from you. He wants to reveal it to you. He wants to give each and every one of you divine revelation, but it all depends on the heart. It's a matter of our hearts. Point number four, my heart determines my revelation. My heart, your heart determines your revelation. Revelation depends on the Holy Spirit, but your heart determines the depth of that revelation. Come on, let that sink in. Revelation is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, but your heart determines the depth of the revelation that you receive from God. He who has ears, let them hear. Do you have ears to hear? You want revelation? Open up your hearts to the Holy Spirit and He will give you revelation. In Revelation 2:29, in the Passion Translation, it says, so the one whose heart is open, it's all about the heart, my friend. Listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying. Open revelation comes to open hearts. There is no revelation when your heart is closed. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Do you have ears to hear? Your level of revelation is determined by the condition of your heart. So maybe it's time to examine our hearts. Luke 8:11, the Passion Translation says, here then is the deeper meaning of my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. So the seed is what? The word of God. The soil is what? Our hearts. But how many know that a seed has life in it? This seed right here has life inside of it. It can become a plant. It can become a tree that will produce more plants and more trees, more seeds. This can produce life. But how many know that a seed doesn't always produce life? Because what you do with the seed determines if it produces life or not. So the sower went out and he cast seeds. I was going to throw it in the audience, but I was afraid I might poke some eyes. So he threw seeds on four different types of soil, which are four different types of what? Hearts. I want to quickly illustrate these types of hearts. But I'm going to need four people to help me illustrate this. One at a time. If you wouldn't mind coming on the stage and standing for a few moments. No, just raise your hand. I'll call you out. Okay. Come on up, Harmony. You'll be the first. But you got to pick up one of those seeds. Just pick up a seed. Come stand on the stage. And just hold it out like this. Just hold it out, just like that. I'm going to read verse 12. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men and women who have hard hearts. That's you, Harmony. Make sure the camera is zoomed out, not just on her, because I want to make sure those online are seeing me. At the same time, I can say that to the cameraman because he's my son. Their hearts are hard, but the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts. But notice it was sown in their hearts. It says it was sown in their hearts. They received it, they heard it, it was sown in their hearts, but it was snatched away to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. This soil is called the path or road. And it's a hard, uncultivated heart. It would be like putting this seed on a hard surface. Would it grow? There's no way it could grow on the surface. Or like when you feed the birds in the park. The seed has no chance. As soon as you throw it out, the enemy snatches it. Just like that. Every single time. Let's give her a great big hand. this heart is too hard. It's too selfish. It's too stubborn. It's too independent. These hearts are unreceptive to the things of God. They're unteachable and uncorrectable. Although that's not any of us, right? But it's us at times, right? How many stubborn people in the house? Let's just be mostly old men, but I see some ladies. This is the way my father did it. This is the way I do it. And I don't care if your way saves time or money. This is the way I'm going to do it. I'm stubborn. How about selfish people? Let's be real. Any selfish people in the house? Teenagers, you better get your hands up or I'm going to come down and lift them up for you. What about independent people? Let me see your hands. I don't need your help. I don't need your advice. I don't need you to show me how it's done. I don't want you, your money. I don't want your pity. I don't need any help. I will figure it out on my own. Any independent people in the house? I don't care if it takes me 40 years. I'll come to the conclusion by myself. I don't need your directions. I'll get there. Hard hearts. Can I mention the characteristics again? Selfish, stubborn, independent, unreceptive, unteachable, uncorrectable. Does anyone need to examine their heart? Do we need to just say amen and run to the altar? Give me about five more minutes. We'll open it up. You can run straight to the altar. Nobody will get in your way. If you run to the stage, my security team will tackle you, though. Just saying. Verse 13. I need a second volunteer. I got to get a man on this one. A real man. That's a joke. Come on up, Bob. I was looking at a little boy when I said that. Now you got to pick up a seat. Oh, here. Some have ears to hear, some don't. You'll just hold it out just like that and stand there. I'm going to read verse 13. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy. But soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away. For they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. See, when difficulty hits, when a storm hits, when life hits, when their world begins to shake, their faith is shook, and they lose it. Let's give them a great big hand. This soil is called rocky, but it's also called shallow. Let that hit home. Shallow. The Bible says they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. Is it all right if I just teach the rest of this sermon? They have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. They had shallow roots. They have temporary faith, and any storm, difficulty, knocks the faith right out of them. And although there's a problem with the soil, I think we have a problem with the seed today. Hear me out. Shallow seeds produce shallow plants. The Bible says that they responded to the word with joy. Of course, people are going to respond to a word of encouragement with joy because it encourages them. It pats them on the back. People are going to respond to a word of inspiration with joy because it inspires them, but it's temporary, church. It does not transform their lives. It never brings them life. And if the word of God does not bring life, it's not serving its purpose. Because the Word of God is a seed that is supposed to produce life in the individuals. If it never produces life, it's not serving its purpose. It's temporary. There's too much shallow preaching in the pulpits today. There's too much talks in the church today. Just meaningless words without divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Working in not just the preacher, but the receiver. There's too many words of encouragement in the church today. Not enough words of conviction and transformation and life change. There's too much shallow preaching coming from the pulpit. Shallow seeds are being cast, and we're reaping what we're sowing. Temporary faith, shallow faith. But how many with deep roots know that the Word isn't always encouraging? The Word isn't always inspiring. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's downright demanding. It's correction at times. I said it's correction at times. And for those of you who are real disciples, it's rebuke at times. How many's ever been rebuked by the Word? If you haven't, you haven't read it enough. It's discipline. The kind of discipline that a father gives a child. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 8, and this is not going to be up there because I added it this morning. It says, and you have forgotten the divine word of encouragement. Oh my goodness. The divine word of encouragement. There's a divine word of encouragement, church, and what is it? Let's keep reading. Which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not make light of the discipline. I could drop the mic right now and walk off the stage. The divine word of encouragement is discipline according to the word of God. The divine word of encouragement is discipline. Let's keep reading. There's more. But do not lose heart and give up when you are corrected. The divine word of encouragement is correction. So the divine word of encouragement is discipline and correction. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom he loves. And then he takes it a step further that I don't even want to read. And he punishes every son whom he receives and welcomes to his heart. You must submit to correction for the purpose of discipline. Oh, man. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, if you are exempt from correction and without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate children and not sons at all. The King James Version calls them bastards. Too many believers call themselves sons while living as undisciplined bastards. I was hoping for a few amens. But maybe the Holy Spirit's working right now. Maybe he's working on some hearts and we're receiving. That's from the King James Version. Don't be throwing no emails at me tomorrow. It's God's word. And I did not call you that. The sole purpose of the word is to produce life. Nothing else. Produce life. If it fails to produce life, it's failed. And so let me go back. If we read the word without the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it will never produce life in us. If we preach the word without the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it will never produce life. If we hear the word without divine inspiration, it will never produce life. The sole purpose of the word is to produce life, is to reform and to transform, not just to encourage us and to make us happy, but to make us holy, to give us life, eternal life. Hosea 10:13 says, we've eaten the fruit of deception. It's possible that we're preaching deception today. It's possible that there's deception coming from the pulpit today. It's possible. What if we've replaced the seed of life with the seed of deception? Because life isn't always fairy tales and happy endings. There are some battles that we will never win. And that will cause the crowd to turn and run. But disciples know, win or lose, we have the victory in Christ. But if all we preach is fairy tales and happy endings, blessings and victories, we're preaching deception. Because that's not the word of God. Jesus promised us. He didn't just tell us, he promised us that we would have troubles in this life. And so perseverance through troubles must be preached. And I know that might clear a church, but it will grow fruit, eternal fruit. That will produce legitimate sons with eternal faith instead of bastards with temporary faith. You can quote me, I don't care. Go ahead and post it. Hosea 10:13, the Voice translation says, you've plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You've eaten the fruit of deception because you've trusted in your own might, in the size and skill of your army. I could preach a whole series on that last sentence. Because you've trusted in your own might, in the size and skill of your army. That's the way I used to live. That's the way I used to do ministry. That's the way I used to preach, not purposely, but ignorantly. In my own might, in my own skill. Because I'm just smart enough, just a little bit. I'm just determined enough. I'm just committed enough. I'm just faithful enough. I'm just gifted enough to make things happen. I am very confident in myself. I am very confident that I can make things happen in my own strength, in my own ability, on my own giftedness, and in my own way. Any confident people in the house? You can make things happen in your own strength, right? Any committed people? Any devoted people? Any performance-driven people? Come on, I'm a performance junkie, or I used to be. But our whole society is performance-driven. What do you tell LeBron when he plays a great game? Great game, bro. What do you tell him when he don't? We're trading you, bro. Performance-driven society. It's all about performance, how we perform. And you know what? It's even coming to the church. But in the kingdom of God, it's not about performance. It's about surrender. When we surrender, the Holy Spirit performs. And it's no longer just enough. It's all that he can do. And it produces life. I wonder if there's anyone here today that's still trusting in their own strength, in their own giftedness, that little bit, in their own smarts, in their own skill, in their own might. Or maybe you're doing ministry that way. Can I save you a whole lot of heartache and pain? And this is point number 5. Surrender your skill to his will. I said, surrender your skill to his will. That's the only way that you and I will ever produce life. Hosea 10:12, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard grounds of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. There's hope for hard hearts. There's hope for stubborn people. There's hope for selfish, independent people. And praise God, because that's what I used to be, standing in the pulpit. But praise God for his grace and his mercy. See, independent flesh is our nature. But that's what Jesus died to set us free from. Not just sin, from us. Independent us. Do it our own way, in our own power, in our own strength. Verse 14, I need one more, another person. Come on up, Katie. If you can grab a seed. The seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked out by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. This is probably the most common type of heart. This heart is overcome by anxiety, stress, worry, comfort, and pleasure. And all of those things choke out the life and the seed. And in the individual, sorry. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. All right, one more person. Come on up, Rachel. Verse 15, you got to grab a seed. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, cling to it. Just like that. Hold on to it. Keeping it dear. Man. As they endure all things. You've endured quite a bit in the last couple weeks and months. Pass.
He's gotten me through. I know that.
This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. Because they never let go of it. The good soil is a heart that hears the word of God and receives the word of God. This is a heart that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. This heart still experiences trials daily, but is not defeated by them. We still have anxiety and stress, Robert.
Not so much this week.
But we're not controlled by it, are we?
No, we're not.
This heart bears much fruit. It produces a crop 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. You open your hand. I want you to go find five people and give them two seats. Those five people, take one of those seeds and go find another person. You got to move a little faster, Rachel. You're destroying my illustration. And once you get a seat, I want you to join us on the stage. If you're willing. If not, give it to someone else. The Word of God has the power to give life to every single person. No matter how hard the soil or the heart is. Come on up, Rachel. All these seeds are your fruit. No, this is good. It's good. All these lives are because of the seed that was planted in you. The Word of God has power to give life to every single person. Those of you that had the hard soil, the rocky soil, the shallow soil. I want you to pick up a seed and come back to the stage. Those three, Bob, Harmony, Katie. Okay, we'll give you one. Come on the stage. Join us. Whether it's a soil or a seed problem, there is no problem too big or too small for our God. But we need good seed. And we need good soil. But both are the work of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 21. Y'all going to have to come up, give the praise and worship team room to line the stage. Ooh. Okay. James 1:21, if I could get everyone to stand to your feet. It says, with a humble heart or a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart. That has been planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. Don't worry, I know the cleaner as well. The Message Bible says it this way: in simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. How many, with all your heart, prayed, God, examine my heart? If that was you, I want you to come get a seed. I want you to stay up here with us. So you're going to have to surround the stage, get as close as you can. As soon as you get your seed, come to the stage. Just not on the stage, but close to it as possible. Touch it. Come on up, up, up. Keep coming. If you need help, someone will help you. Pick up a seed. What is your response to the seed? What is the seed? What's the seed? The word. Do you need to surrender? Do you need to examine? Do you need to be cultivated? Do you need to repent? Do you need to break up the fallow ground of your heart? Is the seed that is in you producing fruit in you, through you, today? What kind of fruit? Is the fruit here? Is it growing? And that's not rebuke. That's not chastisement. That's a challenge. There are people, family members, friends, co-workers, classmates, neighbors, loved ones that need the seed. You have it. It has the power to change, to transform, to give life. If it can be planted. If you're able, pick up another seed. God, I pray. God, right now in this moment, that we would be seed sowers. God, that we would take the word, the seed that's been implanted into us, into our hearts. It's transformed us. It's changed us. It's impacted us. It's given us life. And God, we want to share that life. We want to produce life in so and so. God, I pray for a divine appointment to happen this week. Not done by us, but that you would put that person somehow, in some way, in our path, to cross our path through divine intervention. God, we will plant the seed. We're asking for a divine appointment, God. We don't want to just randomly go out and knock on doors, although we can. We're asking you for a divine appointment this week. And God, give us the divine inspiration to speak when that appointment comes, to deliver your word, to produce and share life in someone else. And God, it's not just one conversation. We know it's a daily maybe even yearly process where we commit to planting and cultivating that heart. Give us the patience and the love to stick with them until we see a harvest. God, I pray for those who need to examine their hearts this morning and maybe need to remove something or allow the Holy Spirit to work right now. Begin to work. Begin to remove. Begin to bring revelation, God. Bring conviction. Only you can bring, God. No one else but you. Our hearts are open. We surrender. Come on, in your own way, begin to pray to God. The team's going to go in one last song. Those that are on the floor, please stay where you are. Just for a few moments to allow the seed to work. Father, we thank you. We give our hearts to you. We're open, transparent. Teach us, correct us, discipline us, encourage us with a divine word of encouragement. Lead us. And we thank you. In your mighty name. The band's going to go into this one last song. But at the end of that song, we're going to have an open invitation to salvation. So if you're here today and the Holy Spirit's been working on your heart and you say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to God, we're going to give you that moment.